This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. This is part three of a five-part conversation about electronic technology in the floor covering business. My guests are Pam Bowe, she heads the Bowe Company, and Aaron Perner, he heads Cap Carpet, a retail organization. Both are co-presidents of the Floor Covering Business-to-Business Association, or FCB2B. So then really what's happened, Pam, is that once this whole B2B idea got off the ground, then the software providers went out and developed all kinds of tools to, as Aaron said, meet the needs of both the suppliers and the retail buyers.
They did. I think that's accurate. The software developers, what they create is they have the mechanism through their programming to allow these documents to be exchanged. But more importantly, what the software developers have is they have the ability to translate these electronic documents, which just look like numbers, symbols, letters. When they're digital, they don't look at all like a purchase order, acknowledgement, or invoice, or catalog, or anything that we normally would look at. They look like a bunch of blips and stuff on a screen. So really what the software developers have done is they've created user interfaces so that when you're looking at the program, a human being can make some sense of this, as opposed to what the digital component is something that it only machines read. So the difference in the software developers, what they've done is they've created an environment where it translates visually what this looks like so that humans can understand it and use it.
That's interesting. And I think, Aaron, you mentioned, or somebody mentioned, the fact that software is available where a retailer can do this interface even with QuickBooks. So, I mean, the very basics can even get involved in this.
Yes. There are several programs that are out there. There's another one that comes to mind. It's called Floor Pro with B2B Express. There are several different programs. Vencom is another one. They integrate with existing programs that a retailer may have in place that allow them to take advantage of either multiple documents with B2B or single specific documents. Perhaps it's just the catalog you want. Perhaps you just want to electronically transmit your invoices. There are so many options out there that there's really no reason right now why any company could not enable themselves with this technology.
I've got you. Now, the ability to convert retailers to B&B, to B2B rather, I suspect, obviously, the software people are out there in the streets knocking on doors. Who else? I mean, are suppliers, salespeople involved in this effort as well?
I think that you'll have different levels of understanding within the different representation that you've got for the different manufacturers and distributors. I think, you know, mostly your best resource would be if you take the time to go out to the FCB2B website, which is www.fcb2b.com, and go out and look. And you can get a list of those people that are in a software business that are specifically targeted towards providing a B2B solution in their business solution that they provide. And they have contacts listed that are out there that are active within the FCB2B brand and that would be very knowledgeable so that, you know, you have the best resource, frankly, to call first.
I've got you. Now, you mentioned, Aaron, some of the bigger players that were involved on the front end, Mohawk, Shaw, Boyu, et cetera. I suspect, and Pam, you can answer this, I suspect that the development within these organizations has gone pretty much a long way. Have they worked out all the bugs and are, I would say, a great percentage of their transactions being done electronically at this point?
I would say there's a growing percentage of their transactions are being done electronically, but remember they have to have the trading partner that's enabled.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, it's kind of a sliding scale, if you will. One of the things you said about working out the bugs, we all use computers, and we would think that by now all of our computers would never have any problems. We all know that with technology there are inherent, I don't want to say issues, but the bugs never ever get worked out because there's always a new version. I don't want to say that it's full of bugs, but I'm saying it's constantly evolving, and that's another very dynamic and compelling reason to be involved in this technology. Is constantly changing, and with good software and good training partners, you will continue to enjoy additional ways that you can benefit from using the technology, and the technology become more sophisticated and allow you to do more with it.
Uh-huh.
Dave, I would answer as a user, you know, that I would tell you that our company and our staff within our company using FCB2B, the percentages, I think the lowest percentage I've got is a store and place and purchase orders with, you know, the companies like Mohawk and Shaw that are fully integrated. And I would tell you that they're great to do business with. It's easy. We're in the 60% plus range. I've got a few stores that are in the, you know, 100% range. There's still not the confidence yet within the staff, although I would tell you the technology is working great. You know, the challenge is, like I was telling you about that manager they were making fun of. The only reason why he's not using FCB2B is he doesn't know, because he hadn't used it. And, you know, on the other parts of the business, like paying bills and receiving in goods and all of that stuff, I mean, it's just such a time saver. I mean, what I'm hearing from my staff is, suppliers, get your together, get on FCB2B, because we need you. It will save us a tremendous amount of energy and time. So, you know, if you're not doing it right now, between the manufacturers, distributors that are out there, each day that goes behind, you're losing 5 days in energy of opportunity, and I think you're losing business now. And I think you better get on quick.
Now, Aaron, I agree with you on that. I also think a point that you made a few moments ago is really very key to this entire conversation, and that is, there's enough awareness out there on the benefits and the preference of being able to exchange documents electronically that you may find more and more people saying, I want to use this supplier because I can do it electronically, and I'm not going to use this supplier because he does not. It's going to be a dividing factor in purchasing behaviors quickly.
Well, it has to be. No doubt. Now, Aaron, I can remember when we talked on this program some time ago about the whole B2B setup, and you had talked about how easy it was when price changes were made. I'm wondering, with some of the big companies, I know that the changing prices, or raising prices rather, is pretty complicated, a lot of moving parts. Are suppliers pretty good at inputting the information on their side, and they do that in a timely fashion as a general rule?
You're setting me up, aren't you? Look, the challenge you have with pricing is the problem that my dad had with pricing before I even got into the industry. You know, the challenge you run into is there are reasons why the suppliers want a price, and there's reasons why the buyers want a price. And so the challenge is that we don't always agree on what the price is going to be, and whether it's electronic or sent out on a piece of paper, it's still the challenge. You know, we want this price. They want to give us that price. They agree to the, you know, somewhere between this and that price. And then the challenge is, did they get it to us on the price agreement? And so, you know, the same dance that you do right now on your price agreement on paper, and the whole chargeback process and all the things that you have to struggle with, don't expect it to change when you go electronic. It's going to make it easier to get it into the system and then get control over it. But the management process that you have to do for your pricing is exactly the same. The only difference is the delivery method is now electronic instead of in the mail.
I see.
So I don't know that that's a fair answer, but it is the answer that it is.
So then basically what happens is, you think you have a certain price, you put it in the system, you get a price back that you don't necessarily agree with, and then you get on the phone or do whatever you do to work that out.
Yeah. I don't want you to think that it's all the time, but it's, you know, on those items that really matter to both companies where you're negotiating tough, you know, you're going to have items, item by item, that you're going to have to check, because, you know, just like on their price agreement, and I think those companies that are out there that do what we do know exactly what I'm talking about, and the manufacturers, I'm sure, see the deductions on their side on the price agreement when they get a, you know, price adjustment debit memo form sent back to them. You know, far and away, the majority of the products come in, they're exactly right, there's no problems with it, but on occasion, we get a $5.99 on an item, and it comes in at $6.49, and you have to go back through the same process you did before to get them to correct it to the $5.99.
So it's the exceptions are the problems, even though they're well in the minority.
Yes, it's the ones that you're going to negotiate from a you know, a high volume, tough negotiating position, and you just got to watch. When you get a price, just like you do now when you get a paper document, you're going to have to make sure that you're getting the right price.
This will conclude the third part of a five-part series looking at electronic technology and the floor covering business. With us for this conversation, Pam Bowe. She is the Chief Executive Officer of the Bowe Company, and Aaron Perner. He's Chief Executive Officer of Cap Carpet. Both are co-presidents of the Floor Covering Business-to-Business Association, or FCB2B. We'll air the fourth part of this conversation tomorrow, and this is Floor Radio.